Hello and welcome to the KMXT Weekly Wrap, where we go over this week's news from Alaska's Emerald Isle. I'm your host, Catherine Irving. On this week's recap, a new study finds that puffin numbers are going down on the Kodiak Archipelago.
These species are really part of the identity, I think, of the Kodiak Archipelago.
More about that story later, but first...
Support for KMXT comes from the Kodiak Area Native Association's Substance Use Treatment Team. Talk with your kids about drugs and tobacco. No matter how young children are, talking with them is one of the best things you can do to keep them drug and tobacco free. Learn more at kodiakhealthcare.org or 907-486-7380.
First up, Kodiak residents will notice significant changes at the Alaska Airlines terminal at the Benny Benson State Airport this summer. The company plans to demolish the current airport building and temporarily move all local operations to their nearby cargo office. Marilyn Romano is Alaska Airlines Regional Vice President for Alaska. She says the final design for Kodiak's airport is almost complete, and then work can begin on a new building starting next month.
We're putting the last final touches on all of those plans, with the plan to be to start moving our operation out of the current building into the building next door that we have leased, so that we can actually start on the demolition and rebuilding of the Kodiak terminal.
Alaska Airlines started leasing the building next door to the airport in 2024 to house its cargo operations. The 1.2-acre lot is owned by Kodiak Hangar LLC. Romano expects all of the company's operations will move over to that leased building in September.
We've got to get that space fitted out to be a passenger terminal as well as cargo. So that'll all happen within that building, which should not disrupt guests coming in and out of the current terminal.
The current passenger terminal was remodeled about 10 years ago, but residents and visitors alike have complained about the congestion in the airport from baggage claim through the TSA security area. In 2024, Kodiak's Benny Benson State Airport saw 86,000 passengers board Alaska Airlines planes, compared to 2.7 million at the Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport. That's according to data from the Federal Aviation Administration. Based on the latest design from this month, Romana says the new airport will help address congestion issues while being built within the existing building's footprint.
Right now, the way that it's designed, I believe we are going to be able to use the whole space on one level, because I think our long-term plan is to keep the building next door for cargo.
Kodiak's airport is the first one slated for upgrades out of a group of 13 that Alaska Airlines owns and operates across rural areas of the state. Romano estimates the company will spend $70 million to update its terminals around Alaska. She says travelers in Kodiak may notice increased activity around the airport starting in late July, but that should not interfere with the 3 daily flights going from Kodiak to Anchorage and back during the summer months. Next up, the Buskin River and the surrounding waters about 4 miles south of Kodiak closed to subsistence, sport, and commercial fishing for sockeye salmon on Wednesday, June 24th. That's according to an advisory announcement the Alaska Department of Fish and Game published on Monday, June 22nd. At the same time, the Federal Subsistence Board also announced a sockeye salmon fishing closure for all users in Women's Bay starting on that Wednesday. Both closures will last through July 15th, which is the last day of the state's subsistence fishery for sockeye this year. Mark Witteveen is the Assistant Area Manager for Sportfish at Fish and Game's Kodiak office. He says it's unlikely the sport fishery will reopen for sockeye, especially since the Buskin Weir is closing down early at the end of June.
Something pretty exciting would have to happen. We kind of act more conservatively when we have less information, and certainly not having a weir is less information.
The closures span from the southernmost tip of Near Island in the north to Cliff Point in the south, and include all of Women's Bay. Both announcements cited low numbers of sockeye salmon passing through the Buskin Lake Weir as the reason for the closures. As of Sunday, June 21st, only 916 sockeye had passed through the weir, compared to more than 5,000 fish at the same time last year. Here's Witteveen again.
The biological escapement goal is 5,000 to 8,000 fish, and we don't expect to make that.
He said that these low sockeye numbers are not entirely unsurprising based on forecast data from previous runs. The Buskin last closed to summer salmon fishing in 2023 and 2021. According to the Federal Subsistence Board announcement, the subsistence fishery could be reopened before July 15th if the run looks likely to hit its escapement goal. Next up, Kodiak College is getting closer to naming its next director after narrowing the applicant pool down to 3 finalists. Each of the 3 candidates have at least a decade of experience in higher education, and they all visited Kodiak from the Lower 48 this week. The college's most recent director, Jaselyn Keyes, transitioned to her new job with the University of Alaska Anchorage last month after 6 years with Kodiak College. Since Keyes' departure, Jackie Kaysen, an English professor with more than 2 decades of experience at UAA, has been leading the college as interim director. Now, Kodiak College's director search committee is considering 3 finalists to oversee all campus operations going forward. They are Matthew Hisrich, the Data and Programs Operations Coordinator at a small liberal arts college in Ohio, where he and his family currently live. Before that, he was the Dean and Vice President of a seminary in Richmond, Indiana. He has roughly 10 years of experience in leading college programs. Sam Hurt is the Interim Provost at Southern Virginia University in Buena Vista, Virginia. He's worked and taught at the liberal arts college for Latter-day Saints for the last decade. Before that, he was an online and visiting instructor at various universities for several years. And Eric Fortune, the Assistant Vice President of Administration at a state community college in New York. He's taught and worked at the SUNY Westchester Community College for the last 11 years. Before that, he was a budget analyst for multiple years in Maryland and Washington, D.C. All 3 finalists were in Kodiak this week to participate in community forums. The one-hour forums were held at the college's campus center from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday. Next up, federal fisheries managers have instituted new regulations for charter halibut fishing in southeast and south central Alaska this year. Anglers charter fishing in these regions must have a charter halibut stamp in order to keep their catch. The stamp costs $20 per day, and the money will go to a nonprofit called the Recreational Quota Entity. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, charter boat operators are the ones in charge of buying the stamps. David Ardinger, who asked to be referred to as Captain Dave, is the owner and operator of Fish and Chips Charter in Kodiak. He says he wishes it was on the angler to buy the halibut stamp, which is the case for the king salmon stamp, but he's not against the stamp in general.
It's a good idea, the idea of a halibut stamp, because they're going to use the money to buy commercial IFQs.
By buying individual fishing quotas, or IFQs, from the commercial fishing industry, the recreational quota entity will ultimately up the number of halibut that charter boats can harvest. But Captain Dave says it's a small fix for a larger problem. Pacific halibut abundance has been dropping over the past few years. Last year's catch was down 16% from the year before, which was already the lowest on record in over a century. The International Pacific Halibut Commission set the total limit for fishermen in all sectors across the West Coast at 29.3 million pounds for this year, down from 41 million pounds 4 years ago. Captain Dave says this hurts the individual quotas for commercial fishermen.
So every year that they notice that there's less halibut, they take away from the commercial fishermen their IFQs. I have a friend that had at one time 85,000 pounds. You know what today his 85,000 pounds is? 16,000 pounds.
That means the piece of the pie commercial and charter fishermen are able to catch, even with the halibut stamps, is getting smaller. Fisheries scientists haven't been able to pinpoint the exact cause of the halibut decline, but they think climate change and overfishing have played a part. Trawling is also central to the conversation about halibut. The industry has faced fierce critique from commercial and recreational fishermen for its bycatch of halibut and other species. This year, trawlers are allowed to take nearly 4 million pounds of halibut as bycatch in the Gulf of Alaska. Charter boats are allowed to catch less than half that amount in the same area. Captain Dave says that as long as halibut stocks continue to decline, buying out quotas from the commercial fishing sector is just kicking the can down the road.
Are we fixing the problem? No, we're not fixing the problem. Are we addressing the problem? No. Are we talking about the problem? No, we're not.
As of last year, halibut regulations for the South Central region also prohibit charter boat fishermen from retaining halibut on all Wednesdays, or on Tuesdays between June 2nd and August 25th. Last up, puffins are one of Alaska's most recognizable seabirds. Their colorful faces adorn t-shirts, hats, tote bags, you name it. But according to a study published this month, the birds' numbers are plummeting on the Kodiak archipelago. As KMXT reports, the study's authors hope their research can inform conservation decisions both locally and nationally. Katie Stoner is the lead author of the study and a marine ornithologist at Oregon State University.
Puffins are really amazing. These species are really part of the identity, I think, of the Kodiak archipelago.
But the iconic birds are struggling across their range. On the west coast of the U.S., there are 2 species of puffin, horned and tufted. In the lower 48, tufted puffin numbers have dropped by as much as 90% since the early 1900s. Not much is known about their horned puffin cousins, but scientists think their population is also in decline. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service chose not to list them as threatened or endangered in 2020. Stoner says that the number of puffins in the Gulf of Alaska played a part in Fish and Wildlife's determination. The Gulf population accounted for nearly 40% of all breeding tufted puffins in North America.
The population within the Gulf of Alaska was considered to be stable in that assessment. However, the assessment was only informed by data from a few colonies in the region.
Studies in Prince William Sound and Cook Inlet have shown that puffins in the Gulf might be struggling more than the datasets used for the 2020 assessment might have led on. To see if the same was true in Kodiak, Stoner reviewed data on the archipelago's puffins going back to the 1970s.
Since we had this data that hadn't been included in that status assessment, we wanted to use it to see if our findings sort of aligned.
One of the study's co-authors, Fish and Wildlife Service wildlife biologist Robin Corcoran, collected over 11 years of that survey data for both tufted and horned puffins when she worked at the Kodiak National Wildlife Refuge. Corcoran was in Kodiak for more than 15 years until leaving her refuge job in the fall of 2024.
So the refuge at the time had a vessel, and we would go around the archipelago, and we would conduct the surveys from a small skiff that we trailered behind the bigger boat.
Driving along straight lines called transects, Corcoran and her team would count the number of puffins they could see within a certain distance around the island. Stoner classified this as at-sea data, and she also compiled data from surveys of the archipelago's breeding colonies, which she called colony data. She used that data to generate a model estimating the populations of horned and tufted puffins over time, both at breeding colonies and at sea.
For tufted puffins within the Kodiak Archipelago, we found from the colony data that from 1975 to 2021, tufted puffins declined by 88%. And from the at-sea data, we found declines of 50%.
For horned puffins, Stoner found a 67% drop at colonies and a 22% drop at sea. She says she's not sure yet why there were such big differences between the colony and at-sea numbers, but she says the results are concerning.
With this new information, it kind of contradicts the fact that the population was classified as stable within the species status assessment.
Stoner is still working to figure out why the Gulf is seeing such a big drop, when other places in Alaska, like the Aleutians, are actually seeing their puffin numbers go up. She says the main cause is likely climate change and marine heat waves, which have been stronger in the Gulf than elsewhere in Alaska. Corcoran says another factor is bycatch.
Some of those setnets, I mean, they set them right on the colony.
As part of the study, Stoner mapped out places that have high puffin concentrations across the archipelago.
This could inform management in terms of targeting it in areas where puffins are really abundant, so where we want less puffins to be bycatched. Some other examples could be potential aquaculture, especially where it may occur near colonies. Maybe that's not the best location for an aquaculture facility.
Puffins are not currently being reconsidered for listing under the Endangered Species Act, but if they were to be in the future, Corcoran says she wouldn't be surprised. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Catherine Irving.
If you or someone you know is having thoughts of suicide or experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis, 988 provides connection to free, confidential support. There is hope. The Lifeline works. For 24/7 confidential support, just call, text, or chat 988. This message is brought to you by the Kodiak Area Native Association.
If you enjoy this podcast, make sure to subscribe to us on Spotify. Our staff put together KMXT's stories every week to help you keep up to date on the archipelago's latest news. And that's it for this week's edition of the KMXT Weekly Wrap. Again, I'm your host, Catherine Irving. We're taking a break next week for the 4th of July, but we'll be back after that. Thanks for tuning in.